This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Friday, 23rd of September, 2022, and plenty to just talk about today with the whole bevy of central bank meetings yesterday. But I think really the key development we need to look at here is the big rise in yields at the long end of the U.S. yield curve. The 10-year, for example, that 10-year benchmark, which gets so much focus, jumping nearly 20 basis points yesterday after sort of going sideways, arguably impressed with the Fed's hawkishness and somewhat taking them at their word on where the economy might go with their intended and with their intent to hike as much as they say they're going to hike. But then yesterday jumping, and that's a really key development for your market, Peter, the equity market, which did not like this. Although I would say the move relative to relative to the treasury market move was relatively muted, perhaps because we'd already sort of dropped quite a bit the previous day. I don't know what your takeaway is, and I'll talk a little bit more about the long end in a second.
Yeah, I totally agree, John, with the sequence there of the moves. So we had already had that big move on the FOMC event. I think a great question I got from the client yesterday is that, okay, Peter, so why are we talking about a potential 15%, 20% more drawdown in equities from the levels previously last week, if when the Fed funds futures market already pricing in a tightening, shouldn't that be already in the expectations for equities? And that's a very good question, and I very quickly try to answer it. I think what happens is that at each point the U.S. 10-year yield is going higher, it actually realizes that expectation. But I think more importantly, what we don't know in the system is to what extent, as you hike the interest rates and you tighten financial conditions, that they create unintended consequences, or you know, it creates risk that you could not expect and was not priced in equities. And I think that is the source that will create equities to get lower from here, because eventually we will begin to see cracks in the credit markets. I'm quite sure of that. And just quickly on slide two, you can see the fallout in the equity market yesterday. Bubble stocks, the whole segment on green energy really didn't like what happened yesterday. And it's because of, you know, they are really priced at very high valuations, so they're the most sensitive to interest rates. And John, before you go into your big central bank spiel, I also want to highlight on equities that we had the U.S. leading indicators out yesterday. And if you take the six-month average on the month-on-month change, but also the year-on-year change, we're looking at the weakest leading indicators in the U.S. since the great financial crisis. If you sort of exclude the dip during the pandemic, it really increases the probability here that the U.S. economy will slip into a recession within the next 6 to 8 months from now.
Yes, and the market before has been looking at it slipping into a recession already, essentially now or in the Q4. Our argument has been there might be a bit of a residual momentum in the U.S. economy that could spill into next year, which would give that 6 to 9 month timing, I suppose. But yeah, just very briefly, I don't have a ton to say more on the Fed. That key message that they're willing to hike rates despite the economy weakening was what spooked the market. But just interesting to see this long end jumping. So we have to, you know, step back and ask ourselves what this means. Is this the assumption that the Fed may fail to actually get ahead of inflation despite its hawkishness? Is it these fears that QT supply, so the supply of the Fed unloading from its balance sheet, is going to hit yields? Is it the fears that this very large Bank of Japan intervention, I'll get to that in a second, yesterday means that they may sell some treasuries to fund this intervention? Or is it the people think the economic outlook may not be so bad? I don't know, but it's a key development. And as long as it continues higher, it's going to be riveting and really it's going to dominate, I think, market attention across markets, whether it's FX or equities or otherwise. And then you can see on the two to 10 yield curve slope I'm showing there on slide three, we saw a very distinct steepening of the yield curve. I think that's interesting. Well, after hitting a new cycle low, I wonder if we continue to see that steepen from here based on those question marks. And then on the FX reaction, so we had, I won't run through all the central banks yesterday, but the key ones were the Bank of Japan, obviously standing pat. And then as the dollar yen rose to new highs above 145 for very good reason in the wake of the Fed meeting and the stronger U.S. yields and a strong U.S. dollar, the Bank of Japan came in with massive intervention. The first time they've actually been buying the Japanese yen since I believe it was 1998 was the figure. And we saw just a ridiculous range, but very quickly stabilizing and sort of pulling back towards 142. And then with this big rise in the long yields, it's precisely the long yields that provide the most pressure. That came late yesterday. So after all this intervention, and we really should be trading, were it not for the Bank of Japan, well above 145 and well on our way to 150 at this point. So huge tension there. I think the market is going to put up a fight. Very dangerous. We need to respect the volatility this causes. And in fact, later in the day, we had the Bank of England out with a 50 basis point move that was or had been sort of the expectation. Many sort of tilting towards the 75 basis points because of what the Fed is doing and other banks moving that much. But they went with a 50. I thought this was quite bearish for the pound. But I think some of this intervention coming in, you just saw sterling versus the dollar all over the map. I was shocked to see it above, you know, actually quite significantly higher yesterday after that decision. But it makes more sense to see it settling back lower, and euro sterling as well, just sort of isolated. What direction is sterling going? Moving lower versus the euro this morning, and the euro is not particularly strong. So that was an interesting one. And then it was also interesting, the SNB, the Swiss National Bank, only moving 75 basis points. Yes, it's a big move for them, but the market was leaning towards even bigger moves because the idea was that the S&P only meets quarterly, so they need to move in larger increments due to the lack of the significant time lag between meetings. Dollar Swiss, a huge mover yesterday, and that indication of two-way intervention was very interesting in Euro Swiss from the Swiss National Bank, or in Swiss franc from the Swiss National Bank, suggesting perhaps that they're a little bit uncomfortable with too aggressive franc strengthening. I wonder if they're thinking of competitiveness of their export industry. So watch that one. And Dollar Swiss, especially, I think, interesting. It has the potential for a very significant repricing higher if they continue to send that message. Okay, a bit of a rapid fire look at things there. Yeah, so with that long spiel on what's unfolding in the FX market, I think there's plenty of volatility to come here with the dollar, and it's posting some new highs. Note dollar CNH as well. The Chinese yuan to its new lows, and we're getting close to about 1% away from the key top around 720. That's going to get more market attention. But we also need to go to Yule, because we've had a lot of movements here in commodities, or a lot of news this week and developments in Ukraine and especially in Russia, I would suppose. But where's your focus in the commodities market here with this mix of volatility elsewhere and U.S. rates and the U.S. dollar?
Well, as I say here on slide 5, this week has been a battle between Powell and Putin when it comes to commodities. Powell's rate hike dampening the potential demand outlook. Putin's stepping up its efforts in Ukraine, potentially having an impact on supply. And then obviously with the Corona intervention also creating some volatility in the dollar. So with all that in mind, we're seeing strong gains this week in the wheat markets. Once again, unfortunately, we've seen some breakouts there, 2 months high. The diesel market, once again, starting to get bit on the back of worries about supplies from Russia. And then we got in the middle there, not performing, but actually performing very well because we've had such a strong move in the dollar. We had this big spike in yields. Gold is unchanged in the week. Silver is actually up. And then at the lower end, some of the growth dependent commodities like industrial metals, where we got copper and aluminium. Just picking out the gas as well. And actually, just before we move on to the next slide, just on the right hand side there, we got this implied yield, which is obviously very important if you are a passive long investor in commodities. We've seen the backwardation across the Bloomberg Commodity Index come down, but it's still above 5%. It's still at the highest levels since the start of this millennium. So we still got tightness in the market reflected in this average weighted average indicator. So that tells us that with the, even though we have a slowdown in economic growth, the outlook for some of the supply still remains quite tight. And that takes us just to the gas slide on slide 6, because it's actually interesting in a week where we've seen increased tension. The gas market has actually been drifting lower, and the reason for that, you can see here in slide 6, inventory levels or gas in storage in Europe is now above the 5-year average. It's continued to rise quite rapidly. You can see the reason for that on the right hand side. That is the combined flows of gas from Russia, Norway, and LNG. And you can see we're seeing a pickup right now, especially coming in from increased shipments of LNG. More of that is coming over the coming weeks, so that will further alleviate some of the worries. I think on top of that, demand is simply falling off a cliff, I think, in Europe. We are seeing anywhere from industry to consumers trying to cut back on the demand for gas, because obviously it is punitively expensive. People are getting drowned in heating bills. So demand is coming down at the same time, and that's basically helping to get these gas prices under control.
Let's have a look at the macro calendar today. We have these preliminary that are coming out basically as we speak, the one for France at least. And then we have also the German and Eurozone flash manufacturing and service PMI. Interesting to see where those are, given we saw a record low in the consumer confidence indicator yesterday out of Europe. And then as well, later for the UK, we're looking at whether the services is slipping close or into actually contraction. It's expected right at that 50.0 level after barely above that in August. And similarly, the US, we've really been confused by this series of manufacturing services PMI from the S&P Global series that is at odds with the ISM services, especially where we're expecting another sub 50 reading today from the US. In fact, all the way down at 45.5 after a 43.7 in August, and the ISM services is still showing something like 56 plus. So it's a very odd mismatch there. And then Fed Chair Powell is out speaking at an event about the impact of COVID. I wouldn't expect any new policy hints there, but of course, be aware of that. Brainard is also there, and at least one other Federal Reserve FOMC voter. And then we have over the weekend, the Italian election. I think we all know how this is shaping up with a right populist bloc in power. There's going to be some squabbling in policy, even if we do have a Meloni at the head of the government. And all that brings in terms of fears about existential crisis, EU, et cetera. But I think it's going to be a slow burn issue, but still very interesting to watch what the results of that election will be. I won't preview next week's much because I only thinly populated the calendar with some highlights there. You can see on slide 7. But do note that there are some treasury auctions, 2, 5, and 7 year. A bit interesting to see these auctions when you have yields hitting new highs for the cycle. And then the macro data point of the week has to be the August PCE inflation. Always a bit tardy, this data series, but still it is the one the Fed supposedly uses for policymaking decisions. So watch out for that as well. All right, that's a wrap for today. We'll be back next week with a Saxo Market Call. Stay careful out there because markets are volatile and we all need to stay on our toes. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.